Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be a part of the service here with you all this morning. It's good to be here and welcome to the visitors. Make yourselves at home and continue to worship with us here in this part of the service. God is good all the time. God is good. I know I've been saying that a number of times lately, but I guess it's just it's something that's just been prominent in my mind, in my heart. That God is good, no matter what comes. As we were talking in the Sunday school lesson this morning about the restoring, the restoration, even in the midst of hard times, that shows that God is good. And as we're praying about the future and we're seeking God's face, God is still good. And He's going to show His will and His way. And as we just continue this morning, last Sunday I brought the first part of the message of the heart of a shepherd. This Sunday, Lord willing, I wanted to continue speaking on the second part of the heart of a shepherd. This, I just want to be clear, and I hope in no way I'm taking away from next Sunday with Wilmer Funk coming. He's bringing a qualification message. I guess I felt led to bring this because as I think about possibly what Wilmer could be bringing, it's the nuts and the bolts. It's what the scripture says is the qualifications in a man that is called into leadership. And this I am looking more as it coincides with that. It's the heart behind all of that. It's the connection. And I'm hoping that they can really blend together is my prayer in my heart. As I said last Sunday, that I hope it's not one of these things of we up here and you down there. I hope it's a thing of a blending together of we're all sheep. And as I was thinking more about this, I want to even take it further. I mean, you can take it further in your own hearts and lives. Is, are we not all shepherds in some way or another? Whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a dad or a mom, whether you're a business owner, we're all, I believe, in some way, even if you're a youth, and maybe an older youth, you have younger ones coming on. You can be, in a way, a shepherd. And I just hope that even though maybe I'm pointing this more towards thinking of God calling men in leadership in your own heart, wherever you're at in life, may you apply it to where God is calling you into leading out or being an example or walking alongside of. As you can tell, I don't do well at multitasking. I always think that, you know, I can just keep talking up here while my hands are doing this and that and somehow keep getting stalled. The heart of a shepherd. Last Sunday, I really stressed the thing of we can't have the heart of a shepherd until we met the heart of the shepherd. And I brought that out numerous times last Sunday, and I maybe won't talk about that quite as much this Sunday, but again, I just want to start out with the thing that, again, whatever part of life you're leading out and you're shepherding, you can't have the heart of a shepherd until you've met the heart of the shepherd. Talking about meeting our Father God, experiencing the life of Jesus in our lives, Him changing and healing our hearts. Then we can be the shepherd that God wants us to have. The overarching verses that I brought out last Sunday and I again bring out, and I believe it's the heart of these messages, is in 1 Peter 5:2 says, the care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. I underlined several words in there, and I believe it's very critical as we think about the heart of a shepherd. First of all, there needs to be care. Have you experienced the care that God has for you? Have you experienced care in your life from others? If we are going to take care of the flock that God has granted to us to take care of, He has entrusted them to you. Whether you're a business owner, or whether you're a dad or a mom, or whether we're leading out in the responsibility of pastoring and deacon and so on and so forth, they were entrusted to us. And He says, care for them. But we can't care for them if we haven't experienced the care of Father God in our lives. We need to be eager about it, not this grudgingly, not lording over dictatorship, but care. Because there it says, signed to your care. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never ending. The great shepherd. One thing I brought out last Sunday, and I want to stress it again. We are not, as leaders up here this morning, or as leaders in whatever you're called to lead in, are not the great shepherd. And I want to point that out, please. We are not the great shepherd. And so the word I've come across and I really like is we are under shepherds. We are under shepherding, under the great shepherd. Whatever aspect or function of life you're in, you're under shepherding, under the great shepherd. The next verse is in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I was originally going to do this all in one message, and I realized I almost should have had three messages for this. So bear with me as we go through this. God is giving us a promise that He will give us pastors that are according to His heart, that are like His heart. He said they're going to feed you, and they're going to take care of you. They're going to give you knowledge and understanding. So as under-shepherds this morning and having the heart of the shepherd, I believe it's very critical to have the realization that there needs to be knowledge, yes, but there needs to be understanding with that knowledge. It's a two-part thing. Yes, it's good to have knowledge, and you know people that have lots of knowledge, but with that, when knowledge is good and useful and powerful is when there's understanding of that knowledge and understanding of the people that are receiving that knowledge. You can't have the heart of the shepherd until you have met the heart of the shepherd. Last Sunday there was 3 points. Know the conditions of your flock, making sure they are safe and healthy. The heart of the shepherd is that he longs to be in among his sheep, to be a part of their lives, not distant, not observing from afar, not lording over them, but loves interaction with the people God has put in his life. Discover the shape of your sheep. And the thought was you can't put a square peg into a round hole. Know their strengths, their heart, their attitude, their personality, their experiences. The heart of the shepherd is he wants to know his sheep, not just know about them. He wants to see them excel and abound, not just survive and trudge along. He wants to see them be all God designed them to be. And then the last point was help you to identify with you. God has called us that we need to identify with each other, but we are impacting and imprinting as under shepherds. We're living the way God has wanted us to be. He is prominent in our lives, and so we are imprinting and impacting others. And in some way or another, we are identifying with each other. I'm placing things on your life as I talk and as I interact. And what am I imprinting upon your lives? But ultimately, as I'm doing that, or as we as leaders do that, or as you do that in the callings that you are a part of, a shepherding, are you imprinting the identity of Father God upon their lives? And it's very critical for us as under shepherds. Are we experiencing and identifying with Father God so that as we imprint, we can be imprinting the identity of Father God upon your lives? We must be aware of what's in our life. The heart of the shepherd is, as we under shepherd, we are imprinting the identity of Father God on their lives, not our own personal identity. I believe this passage here really wraps up what we're talking about. This is Jesus talking in John 10, 1 through 14. If you want to look that up, you can. I have it here in the NLT, but KJV says it well too. There was just a number of things in here that I liked how it was worded. But I believe this wraps up the heart of the shepherd. Jesus was talking. Jesus said, this is who I am. This is what I am, want to be in your lives. This is how it works if I'm not a part of your life. And the heart of a shepherd. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. That is very critical to recognize. He comes in through the right way, through the truth, through the right. He walks with them. They know his voice. Verse 5, they won't follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't know what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate of the sheep, Jesus is telling them. Verse 8, all who came through before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am in the gate. Those who come after... I can't hardly read that there. Through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief comes to purposes to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose to come to give them rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Jesus said here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. We are under shepherds. You and your places of calling in life are under shepherds. Jesus is the true shepherd. And so as we interact with the sheep that we're called to interact with, are we showing them Jesus? Are we pointing them back to Jesus? This week here, there is four, if you count closing as the last point, that I want to bring out as we think about the heart of the shepherd. Are as under shepherds, I say it again, I stress it, we are always, if we are being the true shepherd that God has called us to be in whatever area of life you're called to, are always needing to point back, point up to the great shepherd. It's not about us. It's not about our agendas. It's not about what we always think. Hopefully our thinking is becoming more and more like the Father. But it's about showing them who Jesus is. So first point is, make your pastures a safe place. Make your pastures a safe place. A safe pasture is where sheep can flourish. I was listening to this book about the way of the shepherd. And I was listening to it a while back. And it really hit me. And I just was realizing how much growth and learning I need in this. But in this book, it gave these points. And the man's name that he was meant, the man that was being the mentor was Newman. He was a professor, and he was mentoring Ted. Ted was going through one of his classes, And Ted was going to have a place in business where he was managing and overseeing a number of people in that business. And he wanted to learn how to manage them well, how to walk with them and work with them. And this Newman was a believer, and he used the analogy of shepherding and how you work like that with people. And and he used the analogy in church and business and on and so forth. But anyways, in this point here of make your pastors a safe place, Newman said, Ted, I want you to come along with me. We're going to go up into a mountain, and I want to show you something that you will not forget. Because Newman has showed Ted his pastures and his sheep and where he cared for sheep, little sheep, and how to properly care for them. So they came, and Ted came with Newman, and they went up into the mountains, and they came to this place where there was pasture and sheep. If you want to call it pastures, and if you want to call them sheep. It hit Ted very hard, because as he compared the two, he realized the devastating place that those sheep in those pasture were at. The pasture was totally worn down, totally overeaten, overgrazed. The sheep were in devastating look and shape. They were very unhealthy. They were not resting. They were very nervous. They were just in a very poor condition, and it hit Ted very hard as he realized that supposedly the shepherd of these sheep weren't caring at all and was not making their pastures a safe place. There was sores, there was bugs, there was malnutrition. The pasture was beaten down, all because of a neglect of a shepherd, if you want to call him that. Sheep need rest, nourishment, free from exhaustion. These sheep were exhausted because there was very little food. They were fighting over the little food that was there. Their fences were kind of there, but were not safe. And I've read that sheep can sense danger. And they were sensing the danger that they were in. And they were standing. They were not laying down and resting. Sheep need rest, nourishment, not exhaustion. They need freedom from uncertainties. Uncertainties need to be taken away. Uncertainties that make people nervous, that sends fear, that sends what's going to happen next. Our pastors, thinking about the implications of church and God's flock and being a shepherd or wherever you're shepherding. Our pastors, our communities need to be places where wounds can be revealed, they can be cared for, treated, and healed. If we in a church community are just simply existing together, are simply here just simply because this is what we do on a Sunday morning, if we come here in fear of each other, uncertainties, and looking over and wondering what's going to happen next, if we're not being fed properly, if we're having malnutrition, we will not be at a place that is safe. And we will not be opening up what's happening in our lives. And we will not be wanting to be revealed, cared for, treated, because we don't trust. We don't know if we're going to be healed. Our pastures, our communities, the places where this can come forth and we can work with it. There needs to be safe places where sheep can flourish and that they're content. I could go on and just describing this more and more, but there is so much to cover. There's so much implication as we think about sheep and shepherding and what that life looks like and what God has even in church life. There are four or three aggravations that need to be dealt with as we think about sheep and pastures and safe places. Three things that we need to deal with. And you can't always say just eradicate them, because there's something that will always be coming up. You're going to have to always be working with. You can go out and you can spray for pests in your pasture and your sheep and try to get rid of the flies, but it's something that you're going to always have to be dealing with to some degree or another. You can go and spray your fields one year, but the next year you'll probably have to spray again. I don't know. I'm not totally into farming, but I believe it's probably a regular thing you need to be doing. You can go and mend your fences and repair them, but sooner or later you're going to have to do it again. It's not that life is going to be perfect, but there's things that as shepherding in your business, in your family life, in church life, are we working at dealing with these things? And the first one is fear. Fear is something that's huge. It's present. Everyone, when fear is present, everyone is walking on glass, scared they're going to get cut or get hurt. It stirs on rest, which then stirs assumptions, lack of trust, and holding everyone at a distance. As under shepherds, to eliminate fear, to take away fear, communication is important. We need to be communicating with each other as a group. But then there's times of communicating with each other as individuals, especially for us as under shepherds. We need to be communicating, letting know. I just popped my head one right now. There was, throughout the years of being here, I would go away on the weekend and didn't think much about it. But as I came into leadership, it was brought to my attention that, you know what? It's good to communicate to the group that, hey, you're going to be away. Let them know that you're going to be away. And it was something that, okay, yeah, that communication, it helps to just deal with fear. And then also as we communicate, let our actions follow that communication. Helps to deal with fear. And you can go on and on with that. The other one is rivalry. We think competition is good, and yes, maybe competition can have its proper places here or there, but rivalry in a group setting where people are trying to outdo each other is not healthy. It's very unhealthy. It makes unsafe pastures and needs to be worked on and trying to deal with it. That it's gone and not a part of our lives. Competition, comparing, trying to be one above the other. When this is happening, people are fighting against each other instead of working together. Pastures that are safe where sheep can interact and work together and be amongst each other and is safe. But when they're fighting for a little clump of grass or they're fighting for the last bit of safety that's to be in the center of the group so they're safe, or they're fighting to against maybe a predator that's trying to come in, it's rivalry. It's fighting against each other instead of fighting together against the right thing, fighting against the enemy. When that is happening, there's going to be hurt. There's going to be inferior, not good enough, a lost identity in Christ. And life becomes performance-based if there's rivalry going on. As under-shepherds, we should be constantly communicating that God placed each one here for a reason. Each one has value. Each one has a place and a purpose here in this community. In your own business world, I own my own truck, but I don't have people working for me. But I would believe that when you're in business, you want your workers to know that they're important, that they have a place here. If you see your workers fighting together or fighting against each other and trying to outdo each other in an unhealthy way, I'm sure that's a discussion that needs to happen because work is not getting done. There's tension in the air. Rivalry. And each one is needed, important. And they bring value. Even if it doesn't seem like it's much, they still bring value. And that God has them here for a reason. The heart of the shepherd is that our pastures are safe enough for honesty. Oh, I didn't. Pest. It's those little things that constantly keep coming around, causing unrest and irritations. Think about flies or gnats or mosquitoes. We like to go where it's warm at least 1 week out of the in the wintertime. But I remember years ago, we used to go down to Chincoteague as a family, back with my siblings and us, my mom and dad. And when we went down, the mosquitoes sometimes were just horrible. We wanted to so bad just sit around the fire and visit as a family, but man, we're there swatting mosquitoes. It's those little pests that they just could hardly be gone. And it caused unrest and even irritations at times. In our church life, in your business life, whatever place you're shepherding. But think about our church life. Are there little things that are just causing unrest, that's causing irritations, that maybe keep coming up and you try to get it going? We can't eliminate all these things that can become a pest, but we can intentionally be about minimalizing them. Like being visible, being interested in the activity that's happening around church life. Not allowing problems to fester and go undealt with. Be aware of what's happening. Be visible. Be interested. Saying, I want to know what's happening because I care. And I want whatever's happening to be the best thing that is happening. I want it to be a growth in your life. I want it to be taking you closer to Jesus. The heart of the shepherd is that our pastures are safe enough for honesty, openness, honesty and openness, being real, but safe enough that we don't want to stay at the same place. So we want it safe enough that people can open up, people can be real, people can be vulnerable, and know that it's okay to be that way as far as open and honest, what's going on in your life. But then it's also safe enough saying that you don't want to stay there. You don't want to be like that the rest of your life, do you? You want more that God has for your life, right? Yeah. So let's be safe enough that we can go where God wants you to go with this. Because either the opposite of both sides of those things is on safety, where people don't open up. And it's also unsafe if we just okay people to stay where they're at. The salt, the staff. The staff of direction. This is not mine. Thank you, Wadels, for bringing this. I'm not a shepherd in the animal world. But this thing, I understand, is very, very useful. I understand that you can use it for hiking, which I'll probably use it for, so I don't trip on the stones and let my toes get above my head. But they also say it's very useful in working with sheep. My understanding is that a shepherd with this thing, and if he's in tune with his sheep, can lead a large number of sheep. And the lead sheep, he walks beside and just keeps nudging that sheep in the direction that he's supposed to go. And the rest of the sheep are following that lead sheep. Now, I almost kind of look at that more as maybe in the pastor world, we're the lead sheep, and then God is the one that's gently nudging us along. But in thinking about the areas of life that you're shepherding in, you can lead a large group of people if you know the leaders in your group and those that are influencers and impactors. And as you walk with your whole group, you can just gently nudge the sheep along and say, this is the way. This is the way God wants us to walk. And it just a gentle nudge. Newman was saying that you can just lead the sheep right along. But then also, there's times that this one here and the next one, the rod, is called, they're called the extensions of the shepherd's arm. Maybe the shepherd can't be right at the place, but he can just reach out with his staff and just gently pull back the sheep that's wandering away. Or if a sheep has wandered away and he has left the 99 and he's going out and trying to find that sheep that wandered away and he's way down in the cliff somewhere, tangled up in the briars, he can just reach down because he can't get down there himself. He can reach down and just pull that sheep out of the briars and say, come, Father God wants you back home. The staff of direction. Malachi 7:14 says, O Lord, protect your people with your shepherd's staff. Lead your flock, your special possession. Though you live alone in a thicket on the heights of Mount Carmel, let them graze in the fertile pastures of Bashan and Gilead as they did long ago. God wants to lead us along with his shepherd's staff. And as under shepherds, in whatever area that you're an under shepherd, you want to lead your flock along with the staff that God has given you. The staff is considered one of the main and most important things in a shepherd's hand. It's the leading of the sheep. It's a leadership tool. It is said that the staff is the gentler of the two tools between the rod and the staff. The rod is the one that can be a little bit more aggressive. Implications for us as under shepherds of Christ's flock. There's four leadership function tools in a pastor's hand. As we think about a staff in our hands or in your hands where you're shepherding, what would that look like? And I pondered that for a bit because I don't go around with you all and nudge you on the shoulder and say, hey, got to go over here. I don't go and wrap this thing around and say, hey, get back here. I don't have that kind of thing. But what could be some practical thoughts on that? As I thought about that, my first thought was the Bible. Would that be like a staff in my hand or in your hand that you can use to gently nudge, to gently pull back, to gently comfort a sheep? Then I thought more of, could it even be the giftings that he gives each one of us? Each one of us has giftings that he wants us to use as we shepherd the sheep that we're a part of. He's saying, I don't know what all those giftings might be. Maybe they're the spiritual gifts. Maybe they're the gifts of encouragement. Maybe they're the gifts of just being straightforward. Maybe it's the gift of seeing way ahead. What gifts has he given you that you can use as a staff for the people that you're working with, that you're walking alongside of? But maybe it's simply your voice, just being able to speak the truth, just be able to speak the direction. The action that he wants you to take might be the staff in your hand. As we think about God's word, though, my thoughts on some of that was, isn't it the Bible called our guide, our map to Jesus? Isn't it also called the bread, the food for our souls? Isn't it even also called the sword for fighting off the enemy? Now, that one there might refer a little bit more to the rod. You might be able to whack an enemy away with this, but we'll get into that, the rod here shortly. But you could use the staff with that also, if needed. What's in my hand as a pastor, or the one being ordained? What's in your hand? What has God laid there and given you to use for his kingdom and shepherding the sheep? that you're a part of right now. The staff is a leadership tool, and its main and most important function here is, the first one is, I said there was four things. The first one is leading the sheep and comforting the sheep. The Bible should be our guide, our go-to source, our light in the walking, but we also allow Jesus to use us, the giftings and the words and the actions needed. We need to be leading and guiding as we think about leadership tool. Number two, the leadership function is we are under shepherds. We need to know where we are going and be out front, directing, using gentle, loving nudges. But as I ponder that, though, that doesn't mean that we're exempt from losing our way also. So we need to be hearing. So this sometimes analogy can break down as we think about sheep and shepherds in a literal animal world. But in a church setting, we need to hear from you all too. We need to know where your heartbeat is. And we need to be able to be accountable also. But in the responsibility of under-shepherding, there is the aspect of being in that relationship with God and His Holy Spirit in our lives. And He's able to show us the direction that He wants us to go as a church. But it is our responsibility to be connected to the Holy Spirit, the Word, and lead. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead through us. The third leadership function is we need to give freedom of movement to make sure they know where the fence line is. We give sheep freedom of movement to hear the Holy Spirit, to learn and build that relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, feeding them, guiding them, showing them what the Bible says. The staff says is righteousness and what is sin. And I jumped ahead here a little bit on that. The fourth point there then that comes alongside with this is we cannot confuse boundaries with bridles. We cannot be like here micromanaging. We cannot be here when the bridle that's in the horse's mouth, that is there the whole time, and that rider is controlling every little movement of that horse. So we, in shepherding, the sheep know where the boundaries are. There's freedom of movement in that pasture. There's relationships that are building with each other. But in the church setting, there's freedom to live. And you have the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to be here controlling every little aspect of your life. I want you to know what God is saying to your life. But at the same time, am I teaching what is right? What is wrong? What does the Bible say? Do you get what I'm trying to say? I hope I'm being clear on that. So we can't confuse boundaries with bridles. The fourth thing, I don't believe I said this one yet. The fourth thing, leadership function, is that when sheep get in trouble and mess up, go out and get them. Go out and get them. If a sheep goes out and gets in trouble, go out to them and bring them back. Walk with them. Go out to where they fell. Go out to where they got dirty. Go out where they are and bring them back. Don't stand at a distance and saying and rant on them and beat them down. Don't stand at a distance and say, why did you ever do something so stupid as that? Why didn't you see that cliff there? Didn't you see that bridge was out? Why do you? No, no, no. Apply it to where you're shepherding. What would that look like in your world if you just stood at a distance and ranted and raved? Get in with them. Not be a part of what they're a part of, but get in where they're at and bring them back. Always remind the sheep that failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal. Expiration warning. Might be expired soon. But the truth of God will not expire, right? Amen. Truth of God will always be. Always remind your sheep that failure is not fatal. Because that is critical. When sheep get in trouble, when that shepherd went out and left the 99 in the middle of the night and it was storming and it was raining, maybe it was snowing and freezing cold. That's what I hate. Freezing cold and it's snowing and they're out walking on the cliffs. And finally he finds that sheep that's way down over the cliff and he's caught in the briars. And he could have probably just said, "What, you stupid sheep." And he could have just ran it on them. He didn't. He got where he needed to. He went where he needed to go. And he got that sheep back. And he put it up on his shoulders as close as he could to that sheep and said, "It's not the end. You're not done yet. It's not fatal. You messed up, yes, but you're not done yet. You are coming back into the fold. You are going to be that all that God wanted you to be." And they went back. I could hear his voice just singing and echoing across the mountains on the icy cliffs. And he's there tediously walking with that sheep on his shoulders and saying, "You're found. You're coming home. You're alive. You're coming back to where God wants you to be." I just simply use this picture because I'm trying to know what the rod looked like. The rod of correction. They said this rod is approximately 18 inches in length. Its handle is basically smooth. And this rod was heavily weighted on the one end. They said a lot of times what they did, they would pull out the stump or the root and have a little extension. And that ball in the end was kind of what the root would have been. It was heavier on the one end. They said this rod was one of the last resort tools in a shepherd's hand. It was one of the tools that was not the most always enjoyable part. And as we look at this picture here, this shepherd saw the danger. He saw the sheep. He saw the viciousness of the enemy. He saw the death. He saw the wounding and the bruising and the damages that were happening. He saw the strength of the enemy. He saw the likeliness of death if something did not drastically quickly happen. And he grabbed his rod and he beat the sheep. No. He beat the enemy. He took that rod and he just mauled the enemy. I mean, I don't know if he stood a little safe distance and threw it. I don't know how he did it, but he got the enemy off of the sheep. He saw what needed to be done. And it had to be something heavier and stronger than just the staff. It needed to be the rod. The rod of correction. We see the rod and the staff in this picture. Ultimately, the Lord is our shepherd. And his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Because we know that he will use them for our good and for who he wants us to become. The rod is used as protection, corrections, and inspections. I didn't put the S on that last word, sorry. The rod is used as protections, corrections, and inspections. It said the shepherd can throw the rod at a predator at a very good distance away. He can see the enemy coming, and he can take his rod and I'm told that because of the weight on the end, it can sail a pretty good distance. So that means that as under shepherds, are we aware of the enemies around us? Are we aware of what is trying to steal the sheep? Are we aware and alerting, saying, "Hey, be careful. Be alert. There's an enemy out there. Do you know what that enemy looks like? Do you know? And he can take that and just throw that rod, or that, yeah, the rod at the enemy. Sheep can sometimes get in situations that are harmful or deadly and needs a quick bump to make it aware. I was told that sheep, when they start grazing, they just start following the next clump of grass. Just keep following, keep looking at the next, and their head's down, and they're just eating grass, and they're loving that grass. And before they know it, they can be heading towards something dangerous. And the shepherd might be back here at a little distance, and he sees a sheep, maybe the 101 sheep over there, and he's starting to wander away, and he can just quickly bump it or just maybe throw it out there and startle the sheep and say, hey, you're heading towards danger. Be aware. Be alert. And I'm also told that when at the fold at night, the shepherd uses his rod to count the sheep as they were coming back into the fold. He'd count them. But then also as they were coming in, he would use his rod and start checking for diseases, start checking for bugs, start checking for harmful things that the sheep could have picked up throughout the day. Implications for us as under shepherds, or wherever God has called you to shepherd. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Underline some words there. Take heed. First of all, and as I said last Sunday, I use this verse also, but I say it again. As under shepherds or in places of business you're called to shepherd and guide, watch and be aware and guard your own heart. Guard my own heart. What is happening in my life? Is it going to disrupt the shepherding? Is it going to cause problems? But then also take heed and be aware of the flock that is around you, that the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, or I, or whatever state, place you're in as an overseer, to feed the church, because God purchased it. See, isn't that amazing? Like, you all, I don't own you all. I'm just simply here. God placed me as an overseer. I didn't purchase you all. God did. You're his, ultimately his sheep. But he's saying, hey, Dan, or hey, Glenn in your business, or Justin, or whatever, as a dad in your home, I want you to oversee the flock that I've given to you. Take care of it. Feed it. And be aware that grievous wolves shall come. They're going to be a part of life. They're going to try to steal sheep because they love mutton. And they want some fresh mutton because they want to destroy. I'm using that in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. The enemy wants to steal, then he wants to kill, then he wants to destroy in that lineup. We need to be awake and alert. Now, this part of the rod, it's not so much about the disciplining, the punishment, and the separating, and the shaming, as it is about loving so much that you help them see the bridge that is out ahead, the thing that can harm them, helping them see that there is so much more value that God has for them than what they are trying to pursue. It might need to be a bump saying, hey, why are you doing that? What value is that for your life and for eternity and for whoever else is a part of your life? What value is that there? Might be, it, wake up. Do you know what you're doing? It might cause a little bit of pain, but it's because you love so much that you don't want to see them going down that road. You don't want to see them allowing that to stay in their lives. Do you realize that if you keep traveling that, it's a, the bridge is out up ahead and there's certain death? Do you realize that what you're taking in and what you're listening to or whatever is going to poison your soul? And it's going to cause sickness, drought in your own life, and eventually death. So that rod is used to awaken, to alert. We protect by wielding the rod at the attacking enemy of our sheep. We correct by standing in the gap between the enemy and our sheep and getting the sheep attention of danger. And we inspect by asking questions that will help to pull the wool back that is covering the infection under the wool. I never thought much about it until I was studying this, but you ever hear that phrase? You can't pull the wool over my eyes. That's what sometimes the rod is for, pulling that wool back that's covering. Just pulling back by asking questions. By asking questions. What's underneath? What's feeding this? Why? What hurt? What happened? Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize the reaction? Do you really want this for the long haul in your life? Isn't there more? Do you see that God has you here for bigger things than all this? The rod is pulling back inspection by asking questions. It protects, it corrects, and it inspects. The heart of the shepherd here is that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, together you protect the sheep. You stand between the predator and the sheep and lovingly help the sheep to see the danger that could potentially happen in their lives. Closing and lastly, the heart. Oh, okay, there was the last point of that. The heart of the shepherd is here is that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, together you protect the sheep, stand between the predator and the sheep, and lovingly help the sheep see the danger. There's sometimes, I'm just going to say this real quickly, there's a story with it, but there's sometimes when you have to, you see the sheep, and you see the enemy that is just ranting and raving. You see, okay, I'm going to use regular everyday terms. You know of a person that maybe did something in life that was right even, possibly, but the enemy is coming, or another person is coming and ranting on the innocent. As a shepherd, you go and you stand in between and say, listen, you will not talk to my sheep like that. God has placed me here to protect. What they did was right. You don't have the place to do that. So there is times, they say the definition of a man is those that are willing to stand in the gap and protect the innocent and the vulnerable. And as under shepherds, there's times where we might need to stand in that gap. Closing, the heart of the shepherd. The heart of a shepherd is a lifestyle of leadership, placing high value on the sheep and their needs. There is a high cost. The price you are willing to pay is relative to the value you place on something. That hits me. That really does. Because as I say, I have a lot to learn about this shepherding and what that looks like. And I know with God's help, I will continue to learn and I will continue to grow. And that's my desire. The price you're willing to pay is relative to the price, to the value you place on something. In your business world, what kind of value do you place on your business and the men that you work with? You're willing to pay the price so that it is bountiful, that it is profitable, that it is a safe place in your business world. In a church community, what do we as under shepherds place? What kind of value do we place on the pasture, the sheep that God has placed in our lives? What is the passion in the heart of a shepherd? Are you serving because of responsibility or because of a heart of love? What is the passion? that was just placed on me yesterday afternoon. Someone called me and they said, what is the passion in the heart of a shepherd? That made me stop and I had to jot it down. Are you serving because of responsibility or because of a heart of love? I believe to answer both of them, the heart of a shepherd is filled with a passionate love, first for Jesus, which should then be transferred to love for his sheep and caring for their heart's needs. I will close with this. Again, I said it numerous times, you can't have the heart of the shepherd until you met the heart of the shepherd. Lord bless you.